are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Football Tuesday. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The cameras have left. The cameras were here for the beginning of the show. So I guess the whole idea is they're taping a pilot. They're trying to see
like
if they can...
It's like a teaser trailer.
Yeah, a trailer, but they want to see if they can turn this thing into a TV show. And I think it should be a TV show. It's natural for TV, right?
Yeah, I think so. Why not?
I mean, come on. We're hanging out in here. It's fun.
We're getting it done.
Getting it done and talking Browns. 216-578-0850. Let us go to phonage here. I think we've got some phonage. Yeah, Lori in Stowe is with us now. Hey, Lori.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you?
Not too good after hearing what you guys just said. Complacent. Oh, maybe Jordan Cameron should just sit the second half. If he's too complacent, he just doesn't have it in him to play. And it's for the rest of them, too. I mean, what about the fans who go through a lot of trouble to get to buy the tickets, to get there, to cheer, the expense involved? Why should fans even bother if they can't even get excited enough to play the second half? And a big part of the reason is Brandon Whedon, because if you remember that how Brian Hoyer was, he was just very much a cheerleader. Maybe Brian should just be down there in his crutches cheerleading. I don't know, just encouraging the guys to go on. And Brandon, quit your moping. I would call it moping. Quit your moping and encourage people, encourage the guys, and just play the game of football and quit moping about it.
I think there's some interesting dynamics with his body language that I notice on the sideline. And I think one of the things that's interesting to me, and you're out there, so you get to observe this more, Vic, so let me just kind of phrase it as a question.
Sure.
When I watch Peyton Manning, and I've heard other people say this too, when you watch Peyton Manning, as soon as he comes to the sideline, he's over there knee-deep, face-deep in the pictures, he's on the phone, everything he is doing is to prepare for the next time he gets the football. Brandon Whedon seems to me kind of goes over the sideline and stands by himself a lot.
That's true. And every team, every quarterback kind of handles it a little differently. I do think Peyton Manning falls into that rare breed category of, but it is how it should be done. Every quarterback should look at that and say, that's how I should do it. It seems as if Peyton Manning always cares more than everybody else. And his entire team, his level of concern and caring about the next play is equal to that of every member of the coaching staff and certainly every player. And because he wears the hat of quarterback slash coordinator, CEO, he sees so many things. I think that's embodied in everything he does on the sidelines. Now, could Brandon Whedon be more of that kind of guy? The answer is probably. He should be more seemingly into it than he is. I don't think he's going to be Peyton Manning because he's not hardwired to be that guy. That's a special guy that a lot of other quarterbacks just can't do. I think his process is he's taking direction from the coaching staff. He's being guided by the coaching staff. And I think he mostly relies on the coaching staff to lead him to his next thing. Peyton Manning relies on himself. Peyton Manning goes back there to say, I'm going to make damn sure whatever we did wrong in this particular series, I'm going to review, go over it with the teammates, go over it with the coaches to make sure it's fixed. I think Brandon's thing is obviously aware of what went wrong, have that quick discussion with coaches on the sideline, maybe get on the phone with a North Turner upstairs and chat it out a little bit there, but not to the degree of, you know, I'm in charge of this and I'm going to fix this. And if you're not that guy and you're not that, because I don't think he's even that conversant with the offense. I don't think he knows the offense well enough to be that guy either. Maybe he will at some point, but he's not that guy now.
I'm not saying he should be Peyton Manning, but I think when you look at the dedication and doing everything you can to have a better understanding of what you're trying to do out there, what a defense is trying to do to you, that's really what you should be doing in game, I would think, was trying to better yourself. Because if you look at Manning, he's better now than ever, even though his physical skills are nowhere near what they used to be. And that's because it's with his mind. So Brandon Whedon, and the one thing we talk about with him all the time that he's got to improve, is his decision-making. It's a lot of it is mental. We're talking about him improving his mental game because physically he can make the throws. So it's about the mental game. So And every team is different, and he's got the best coaches in the league you could make the argument for. So I get that. I just would like to see you know, I think you can study and learn on the job, on the fly, and maybe that would help him, especially when you get in the second half situations where nothing is working, just to see what they're doing to you. So if you can understand what's being done to you, then you can at least try to find a counterpunch to get over it. And I know that's what the coaches are doing the entire time, but Brandon Whedon is the one who's on the field that actually needs to make the decisions and implement what is being told to him.
Well, and let me add this. With regard to what Lori said about Jordan Cameron's comment, she's absolutely right to be bothered by that as a fan. And when I look in those stands and see the passion of those people, when I see what they're there to do, not only, you know, think about the fact that they paid for the right to sit there and cheer. And yes, you're invested. You're invested financially and emotionally, your time. I mean, it is a big commitment to go to any professional sporting event, any amateur sporting event, but I mean, especially an NFL day, and to be part of that crowd in the 70,000 range in a big stadium like that, you're in it. You're all in when you're there. You want the people you're rooting for to be all in. You want to believe that. And for the acknowledgement that, and like you said, it wasn't just something Jordan Cameron said. We heard it from at least one other guy. We heard it from Willis McGahee, and you could see it. You could see something was missing. There is a sense of that being unfair, completely unfair to the paying customer, completely unfair to the customer who, or the fan who just is with you emotionally, who's on board with you, who's giving you his or her heart and soul all day and year round. And that's inexcusable. They deserve better than that. I agree exactly with what Lori is saying. And probably the best thing, if you're a player and you really saw that and saw it and believed it, is to not articulate it. Don't even say it. Because when you say it, when you state what everybody sort of knows, and you're just being honest, and I'll credit him for his honesty, but at the same time, it's not going to be, don't expect people to take that in and say, oh, okay, that's cool. You guys were just kind of out of it. Wait a minute. Right. I was in it. Why aren't you into it to the degree that I was, is what the fan is saying.
Sure, and it's a very valid point. And it's right. The fans are paying to be there, not being paid tons of money to be playing.
No, they're paying tons of money to watch the damn game.
So it is certainly a very valid and a very legitimate beef, I would say. I hope that it's something that when you have people making comments like this, that it becomes a rallying cry for this team, that no one will out-effort us going forward, because it's tough to know the effort. But the fact that it's coming from in the locker room makes it seem like the players feel that is a legitimate issue right now. So hopefully this is something that gets rectified. Because listen, the team's still at 3-3. The sky's not completely falling on this team, okay? It is 3-3. The schedule gets very difficult right now, but there are going to be some very nice, easy games at home as well as the season progresses. This Cleveland Browns team needs to rally. They need to play hard, and they need to say, listen, we may not have the most talented roster top to bottom relative to some of the other teams in the NFL, but nobody's going to outwork us, nobody's going to outprepare us, and nobody's going to out-effort us on Sundays.
That's
what they need to do.
Leo in Stowe is with us now. Hey, Leo.
How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I just think that, we're kind of just going through a growing period, and I think offensively where we struggle is we have a lot of young players, like a Josh Gordon, who really didn't play a lot of college ball and wasn't a star at the college level. You got Cameron Jordan, who, was this basketball player turned tight end, wide receiver. And now where he's at, he's starting to perform.
Yeah, Jordan Cameron, but go ahead.
Jordan Cameron. Well, where they're at is these guys are performing at a very high level, very early in their career, that, they need to start believing in themselves to where they can go to the quarterback. And I think Poyer brought this out in them, that they can make a play. And these guys need to be able to go to the quarterback and say, I'm going to make a play for you. Bring it to me. I don't think that communication's there because they don't believe in themselves yet. That's why you'll hear, Cameron make that comment that they were in a daze. They need to step it up. When Tom Brady was at the end of that game, he was yelling at these guys because he wanted to win. And I think you saw Matthew Stafford, he wanted to win that ball game.
Yep.
Okay, and he knew what it took to win that game. Our guys don't know what it takes to win. It's Boyd at the quarterback position. And the skill positions need to start believing in themselves, because it's not going to come from the quarterback position. It's got to come from the other skill position. And we've got the talent there, but these guys need to believe in themselves, and the coaches need to put it on these players to go out and make these plays.
Fair to say that. And I do call on the veteran leadership of this team to do exactly what you're saying. Get everybody on the same page. It doesn't always have to be the QB. He should be natural leader, should be part of this. But if it's got to be other people, then let it be other people. I think that is another problem on this team, is that it's not easy to identify who these other people are, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. 216-578-0850. Danny in Cleveland with us now. Hey, Dan.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Not too much.
All right. I would like to say, first of all, I'm a big fan. I value your opinions. Y'all be making hella sense, man.
Appreciate it.
My whole thing is, Brandon Weeden, and it shows that his release time is slow. It's no secret in the NFL or anything like that. That's why all the defensive teams are able to prepare to send everybody and everything in the kitchen sink at Brandon Weeden, because they know he's going to try to hold on to that ball for like 10 to 15 seconds. Okay? I mean, when nobody expected Brian Hoyer to come out and lead us to two or three wins in a row. Nobody did. When Brandon Weeden went out, you know, we was just like, okay, well, here come Jason Campbell. And me personally, I would say that I thought that Jason Campbell might have been the type of quarterback to lead us to 4, 5, and 6 victories, just due to the fact that he got the height, he has the arm, and he's not afraid of scrambling. And I try to tell everybody, if we can get the type of quarterback that's not scared to run when things get tough, then that's a guaranteed 5 or 10 yards. That's a first down each trip. Nobody's prepared to see us have a running, scrambling quarterback. Now, well, and another thing, I mean, yeah, it's mental, because obviously you can see that nobody has even heard of Cameron until Brian Hoyer even stepped into the picture. They got to use Cameron as another way to block for Brandon Weeden, because they know and the coaches know that this man is going to hold on to the ball for like 5 minutes, you know, and it's a tough thing that happened to Brian Hoyer. I pray for his speedy recovery, because, you know, I think that he gelled with the team so much that they're comfortable. They know what to do, and they know he's going to deliver the ball. And this is proven after only just 3 games.
Okay.
Brandon Weeden does hold on to the ball a little too long. This was actually his fastest game this year. Got it out under 3 seconds for the first time all season. Was only sacked twice in this one. Jordan Cameron had 14 catches for 203 yards and a touchdown in the first 2 weeks with Brandon Weeden. So he kind of put Jordan Cameron on the map in those first 2 games. In fact, both of Jordan Cameron's highest yardage games this season have come with Brandon Weeden at quarterback, 108 in week 1, 95 in week number 2. So part of the problem that I see it is, if you're a defense right now and you're playing the Cleveland Browns, you can blitz because you know all you have to do is throw a little bit of help over Gordon, maybe a little bit of help over Cameron, and you can play one-on-one with Greg Little. You can play one-on-one with Devon Bess. You can play one-on-one, or just let them – you don't even need to cover them. Let them check it down to Obanaya, and you're going to tackle him. He's not outrunning anybody. So schematically, it is very challenging for this offense to get their top players in situations where they can win. I think Jordan Cameron snuck up on the league early in the year. He was not a defensive priority. Now he is, as is Gordon. Gordon just happens to be a superstar and can still produce in spite of that. But this Browns offense, to be successful on a weekly basis and to be explosive, is going to need Greg Little to step up and make plays, Devon Bess to step up and make back-breaking plays, especially on third downs in the face of blitzes, and not drop the ball. That's one thing he's never done really before in his career, is drop the football, and he's starting to do that a little bit.
I'm beginning to have some questions and doubts there, honestly, about Devon Bess. I don't think he's not scaring anybody. You use the term step up, and I'll go along with the idea that, you know, step up, be better, play better. But I don't know that it's that simple. I think we're seeing kind of what he is. And I think when he got here, and certainly what we saw at training camp, it had that initial sense of, and really through much of the summer, that sense of, hey, here's a guy who just always gets open and always catches the ball. And we could envision, we were projecting that now into games, seeing this guy move the chain, seeing this guy be the Browns version of Wes Welker, Danny Amendola, whatever it might be, to see a player be that X factor difference maker and help open things up for others. He hasn't been that guy. He really hasn't been that guy. And to some degree, I thought early on it might have been a case of not looking for him as much. But now I'm seeing that he's really not moving defenders the way that guy should or could. And I know there's different things. Look, they use a lot of multiple formations. Norv Turner is very creative that way. He likes to move other people in the slot. And when you do that, you can create those mismatches. But you can't do that an entire game. Ultimately, a defense can play true to putting multiple defenders on certain people. They'll do it with Josh Gordon. That makes sense. They'll do it with Jordan Cameron. They've swallowed him up in many cases. And then the rest of it is up to others to help open things up. But all that also really means is your quarterback, and this is where it's back on Brandon Whedon, or as it was on Brian Hoyer. And I think what the caller's point was with Cameron, too, in the two games that Hoyer played, is those windows that were limited in those games, Hoyer still found a way to get him there because he's getting the ball out quicker. When you're talking about the tight end, that's where the quickest delivery by the quarterback must be. I know you had the stat that showed from Pro Football Focus about the time that he got the ball out right. of his hand quicker, fastest of all his games this season, correct? Of,
yes.
Of the three starts he's yep. made in the Buffalo game. But that said, Nathan, I think it's still the one time that I'd like to see it zeroed in on is when it comes to Cameron, because those tight end windows are the tightest of all. Those are the shortest, quickest patterns, and they're sure. the ones that have to happen on rhythm, you know, on speed to get going. All right, we're going to have a conversation coming up with Ataba Rubin. We're going to talk on the defensive side of the ball. Our own Jameer Howerton sits down with him. We want to continue to talk with you at 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850, and your barks from tweets at Browns_daily, the barks from the pound. We want those. We value those. We will talk about those. It is Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.